This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to be mad.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my
honey.
Promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly in my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on thighs, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan. Let me tell
you what I want. Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Friday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Beautiful Friday afternoon. Hope you're having a good one. It's going to be a busy sports weekend. We'll Sprague the line at 2:30. Get your fake sponsors in. 503-250-1080. We got a lot to gamble on this weekend.
Boy, some juicy little things to gamble on tomorrow.
We can even throw some bets in on the NBA playoffs starting if you want, because all those series will begin prior to the next. You got a lot of series beginning on Monday.
I feel like we should just keep these sheets here.
Yeah, it's
studio.
Almost good. We got Dallas and... Dallas and the Clippers in game one, Toronto, Brooklyn game one, Boston, Philly game one, and Denver, Utah game one. All of those are on Monday. And to your point on game starting early, it looks like the first one starts at 10:30, I want to say, our time.
Great. It's going to feel like the NCAA tournament.
10:30 or 11:30, either one. I'm terrible at math. But Denver, Utah plays, that's the first one over in the morning. You got Toronto, Brooklyn at 1 o'clock Monday, and then 3:30 Boston, Philly, and the nightcap at 6 will be the Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks.
Nice.
So it's going to be on all day. So we'll have a lot to gamble on. We'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour. We'll dive back into the Blazers a little bit. Obviously, a huge weekend for them as they take on Memphis tomorrow with a chance to advance officially to play the Lakers in the first round. If they are to win that game or win Sunday, game one would be Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. So it would be an evening game on Tuesday. So just a look ahead. If they're able to win that one, that's when they'll play.
I know we're going to have Anthony on in a second and something you could think about. Do you think the NBA should make a bigger effort to give the better seeded teams some sort of an advantage? Yeah. I know it's not their court. I know everybody's familiar with these buildings.
People advocated that from day one. Well, shouldn't there be something?
Yeah, should you pump in more noise, right? Like Brooklyn, I felt like Brooklyn was dumping in some weird noise that I don't know what that was. It was either NBC's cameras and audio setup, or it felt like they were pumping in unique noise.
The only one that really stood out to me was the Boston game. The Boston game was like insufferable with the noise. I don't know why that one was more than others. I didn't really notice the Brooklyn stuff last night.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice it too much. But I know people have brought that up from day one of getting the bubble going of, like, how do we, like, shouldn't there, like, the Lakers have the best record, or the Lakers and Bucks, best record in the East and the West. They worked for that all year.
They should get something. I don't know what that is.
Like, but I hate the Lakers, but I mean, you deserve some sort of reward for that.
Flip it the other way, right? Take the Lakers out. If this was us.
Oh, we'd be advocating for it left and right.
We'd actually probably get kind of pissed because, of course, we're the one seed when we're in the bubble and there's no fans at the actual games.
I think we'd make them play the trumpet over and over again. Over and over. All right, joining us now, it's been a crazy week in college football, crazy week for high school sports in the area as well. Our good friend Anthony Newman, former Duck, former NFL star, usually on our game day coverage, but obviously not going to be the case this year. Anthony, how you doing, my man? I haven't talked to you in a while.
I'm doing good. I'm just, staying around the house and dealing with our own kids. We got one kid in college that she's she came back home because LMU down in L.A., they you know, have online school during the fall, so she's going to do it from home. So we had to go down and get her out of her apartment and didn't sign the lease and get back here. And so it's been a little crazy.
I'll always remember the COVID memory of when S was really hitting the fan. I asked myself, should I go to Costco? And I was like, yeah, it's going to be a madhouse. I'm going to go to Costco. I'm grabbing my car to Costco, and who do I run into? The one and only Anthony Newman doing the same exact thing. We had Costco run the same day, buddy.
Hey, I had to load up, man, just for me and the wife. We got to eat. Yeah. We got to grub.
Well, you never know when the end of the world's going to happen, and it sure felt like that in March. That's for damn sure. Anthony, it's good to have you back on the show. Let me just get your 2 cents on the Pac-12's decision and a bit of a two-parter here. Would you have felt comfortable playing as a player?
As a player, no, to be honest. You know, I guess you think about it from a sense of if I'm an older player or younger player. When I'm a younger player, a freshman, a sophomore, I don't know if you're really thinking about that. I don't know if you're thinking about, you know, getting sick or what have you, or getting people around you sick. I want to go play football. Mm-hmm. When you're a junior or senior, you start to think about things. You start to think about, you know, what's going to affect me in my life and my future, and what's happening with my future. So if I was a junior or senior, I would probably say, hey, you know, I can't do it. If I was freshman or sophomore, hey, let's play. I don't care. Let's go out and ball.
Right. Yeah, that's a good perspective. To have the older kids, yeah, with a different sense. How would you handle this, Anthony, from a coaching angle? I know you coached at a long time at the high school level, and we can even take it to that level, too, of how would you, you know, not having a fall season this year in the high school sports level, but it's unique. I know the guys are still going to be there. They're still going to be working out, and they're hopeful maybe something can happen in the spring, but how would you handle that as a coach?
Well, you know, it's the cards that were dealt with, and I'd be honest with the guys. I'm like, you know, there's nothing we can do about this. This is uncontrolled right now. You know, my dad used to tell me, don't worry about things you can't control, and we can't control this, this COVID, you know, this pandemic. So we have to do the next best thing for yourself. And for guys who are, you know, are seniors or are going to be seniors, get ready for the league. You know, get yourself prepared for the NFL. Get yourself prepared for, make sure you graduate. Make sure you get that education, and you finish strong with a positive note. It's a sad day. It's very sad. I feel really bad for the guys, for those seniors. The guys are going out, but at the same time, you know, everybody in this world is dealing with the crisis. It's not just, you know, Oregon football team or in your community. It's everyone. So, you know, we're all in this together, and we got to figure out how to just keep going, adjusting the game plan, and move forward.
Well, Petro Papadakis, who I'm sure you're familiar with, you know, known voice within the conference, played at USC. He did an interview a couple days ago. He basically thinks that with this ruling by the Pac-12, they're going to become the Mountain West, and USC is going to be UC Davis, and they're just going to get lapped in college football. We have no idea if the other three conferences are even going to be able to play an actual game, but what say you on the conference deciding to do that, to aim for maybe a late winter, spring season, and punt on fall, whereas you have three other Power Fives just saying, nope, buckle up, we're getting through this COVID, and we're playing football?
Well, yeah, this whole thing is kind of crazy. I go back to the NCAA controlling, you know, everyone. Let's have a head coach, and let's have a game plan that everybody's doing. The only way you can be successful and win a championship is that you have to have everybody on board. You know, you have to have one guy giving out the game plan, and you got some assistant coaches that are helping out, and then you have to have everybody that's going to believe in what you're doing and follow you. Right now, we don't have that, not even in our country. We don't have that with the NCAA, you know, and so everybody's doing their own thing. So how can, you know, you got, you know, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten not playing, and then you got the ACC and the Big 12 and the SEC, they're going to play. I don't know how that works. I really don't. I mean, like, what are we looking at? Are we all looking at the same television? I'm not sure. And the thing is, you know, if you make that decision, hey, that's great. Let's go with that decision at the Pac-12. I don't know about playing football in spring, though. That to me goes against all the safety protocols that you're trying to put in place to keep the kids safe, about, you know, less training camp days, less contact, you know, all the new rules that you put in place, concussion protocols. You go against all that because now you're talking about playing in spring, and then you turn around in so many months and you'll play in the fall. How do you recover? You know, and the key to having success, the key to making your body better is to recover. You got to let it rest. You got to let it, you got to let your body heal up from the injuries, and then you train your body. You can't do that from spring to fall. That's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big fear a lot of people have. I know one of the coaches that released a plan, he wanted to limit the number of contact practices in the spring season. And I'm sure coach, it makes it tougher to coach and get guys ready to go. But that was his thought of how do we make this safe to potentially have two seasons. Anthony Newman, our guest, former Duck, former NFL star, kind of going all in this together before the Pac-12 and the Big 12 made the decision, or the Big 10, excuse me, was the Pac-12 unity movement that their players had and the demands about, you know, health and safety, and they want a little compensation and they want to make sure all the other sports are protected. Is that something that you think Anthony Newman, if playing in 2020, would have been a part of? And just what were your thoughts on that when you saw it?
Yes, I would have. Because when you think about this whole situation, is nobody in this world really understands what the COVID is all about. What is this virus? And what will it do to you? And then if you get it, what will happen to you in the next 4 years down the road? So if I'm a young football player and I'm going, yeah, we're going to play, and then somehow we play another team and one of their players is positive, and somehow we all touching the ball, or I'm touching his jersey, and somehow I got it because the sweat popped off in my face and I got it. Okay, and then I finish the season, everything's all right, but then I got COVID. But then all of a sudden, 4 years from now, I'm getting these complications in my body because of the COVID. Mm-hmm. So does anybody help me? Am I on my own here? So what's there for me to say, hey, we want you to play. You're unpaid players. You're not professional, but we want you to play to bring all this money in, okay? And then when you're done, see you later, you know? And then if you get sick and we can't help you down the road because we're done with you. You're gone. You got to do your own thing here. So, like the NFL, they're protected. The NBA, they're protected. They're professionals. College football players are not protected. So that to me is a difference. That to me is, well, what are you going to do for us? How are you going to help us get through this when this is a situation that no one in this world that's living has dealt with, you know, this right. pandemic. So what's going to take place down the road in the future if all of a sudden we got things that are the complications from me being positive 4 years ago? I need to find out as a football player before I go put myself in that situation.
Well, you know, I think you could do both of these things because people are kicking around the idea, right? We're talking multi-billion-dollar industry in college sports, and obviously making money is a big part of this conversation for players. I don't know what the compensation, what the right number is. I'm just one personally. I believe these guys should be getting a little of something. When you get into those dollars and cents, it's that's next level stuff. When you think about that, is that the most important thing for the players? Is it the health when you think about what they're asking for? Or do you just collectively put this together and say, hey, you got to get these guys what they're asking for here? Is there elements of their request that you didn't like?
Well, it's more for me. I'm just talking, you know, speaking for myself.
Right.
It's about health. Mm-hmm. Because I deal with it, you know, I deal with it with the NFL playing football. Played for 12 years, and now you have these complications after you're done playing and they're done with you, they send you off, you know. But over time, they have worked out some things to help us down the road that we're dealing with, that we have to pay for, you know, some medical expenses and all these kind of things. So we have some help. We don't have all the help, but we have some help. These college football players don't have that help. And yes, if they can put money aside for that, I'm not talking about paying the players to play right then. I'm talking about putting something, you know, in the account for the players who played that got tested and somehow having some health problems. You have money for them to get things taken care of. That's mm-hmm. what I'm talking about. Take care of me 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. Because for myself as an NFL football player, I wasn't hurting. I didn't go through problems when I just finished playing or when I was playing. It's I've been out of the league, 15, 20 years now. So right. Now you got problems.
Right. Right. Comes later on. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
What are you hearing about from high school kids? That's the last question I got for you, because we're against it. What are you hearing from high school kids? I know you're not coaching anymore, which is great news for the Park Rose Broncos that Anthony Newman's gone from Central Catholic. But when you hear from players, or you're still maybe in contact with some player, what are you hearing from them on everything that's gone down here in Oregon?
Yeah, I feel bad for these guys. I'm just telling them, hey, just keep training. Just keep training, because you never know what's going to happen. I'm hearing a lot of things. I hear some kids are transferring and going to other states to play because they want to play their senior year. I'm hearing some other kids are saying, hey, hopefully we can move this thing to spring, so they may be able to move to spring in high school football. I don't know. That's the plan that I'm hearing. But as a young high school football player, you have no control of it. So what you need to control is what you do to your body to get prepared to play. And that's what I'm telling them. Just get yourself ready to play. Get yourself prepared to play, because all of a sudden, boom, they're going to go, oh, you know what? Everything is good. Let's go play some football. You have to be ready, because you want to go to the next level. You want to get a education paid for. You have to take care of your body, and that's all you can control is what you do to yourself. And that's what I'm telling the kids.
Yeah, great stuff as always. Anthony Newman, Oregon Duck, NFL star, usually a part of our game day coverage. You're going to look a little different this year.
Well, he sounds healthy and ready to play football
himself.
He's
ready to go, man.
Oh, man, I'm always ready to play. We're talking to you guys. I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's go. Let's do it.
Great stuff, buddy. It's great catching up with you. Glad to hear you're doing well, man.
Okay, man. Hey, talk to you guys later.
There you go. Anthony Newman. Great stuff from him. Yeah,
says he wouldn't play.
Wouldn't play right now. I was just curious to get his 2 cents on it. He's a guy who's... he's got takes on, thoughts on a lot of stuff, and a very high-profile Oregon player, great NFL career of 12 years. I just, how would he have handled it? Everybody's going to handle it differently. I think that's the case in sports and not in sports. I was curious to get his 2 cents. He said he wouldn't have played if he was still there. All right, well, Spring Line coming up, bottom of the hour, 503-250-1080. Get your fake sponsors in. Let's dive into the all-day NBA stuff and then start to look ahead a little bit to that Portland-Memphis game tomorrow. What's at the line, and how does Portland get a win over the Grizzlies? Next on The Fan. All right, we do some gambling coming up, bottom of the hour. Trying to check my hockey parlay and see if I took the Avalanche. I know I got the Canadiens over the Flyers. My NBA parlay crumbled yesterday. That's all right. We get back on the horse, baby. That's what we do.
Yeah, I've lived here my whole life. I've never... and I was a lot younger with the Clyde teams.
I did. 2 for 2.
I've never seen a player that the city rallies around more than Lettereau.
And the notion
that he's not the greatest Blazer yet is the dumbest argument, because, and I'll tell you why. The people that say that, they always end it with, he's on his way.
He's not there yet.
He's not there yet. Well, if you know that in 4 years he's going to be there, why don't you just, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, I'm not waiting anymore. I saw this from Royce Young last night, NBA writer. I think he covers the Thunder, NBA writer for the NBA.
He did last year. I know that.
This one, one of those like Terrell Owens, that's my quarterback.
Me and Royce watched the Masters together.
Did you? That's a fun little story. He tweeted last night, just from the epic shots, the clutch performances, the confidence without arrogance, the ice cold candid interviews, the loyalty to the Blazers, forget whatever even happens the rest of his career, Damian Lillard is going to go down as an absolute NBA icon.
I guess Matt Barnes is on the Simmons pod, and he basically said Dame is just as good a scorer and has the same mentality as Kobe and AI. Yeah. I think we've seen that. It's been all on since they started in the bubble, but I was thinking about that last night. Like, I have felt this way for over a year. I honestly have not seen a city... I've not seen this city with one specific player ever. Clyde was great, but there were a lot of TP fans, a lot of Kersey fans. You had those late Blazers teams, Damon, Sabas, Rashid. You had a lot of different people that like different players, and it's obvious when you win, but and this dude, he's just different, and he really is the city, so...
Yeah, that mural is pretty awesome.
It looks amazing. Cool. You seen that online?
Yeah, that's really cool.
I think it's in Southeast Portland.
Well, he's just continuing to grow his legacy, and he has a chance to add to it tomorrow. A team that it's easy to remember how bad they were, or easy to forget, I guess I should say, how bad they were and how insufferable large chunks of this season honestly were, man. It was ugly for a long time, and he's been the only bright spot. They come into the bubble. They go 6-2 with him playing at that level. Now they're one win away from going to the playoffs. They got to beat Memphis again, only one win. Somebody had texted in earlier asking if they win tomorrow, do they play Sunday? No,
it's over.
They lose tomorrow, then you got to go win on Sunday. It's a two-game series. Memphis in the bubble went 2-6. Including a loss to Portland in the opening game. Jackson, one of their good young big guys, out, which was a devastating injury for them to suffer. I said it yesterday that I was very confident in Portland pulling away from Brooklyn, but Brooklyn at least was playing good basketball. That was not the case. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it right now. We know this game's going to probably come down to a two-point game, and Dame's going to need to hit a game winner because that's the way Portland plays every damn time out there. How are we feeling about tomorrow?
I'm feeling great. I felt good about last night, even though in the back of my mind, I knew their defense would suck. And a guy like Caris LeVert, once I saw that he was playing, nobody's matching up with that dude. He's going to go get his buckets, and he did. I think Memphis, they've got some interesting pieces, even though they've lost Jaren Jackson Jr. And that Blazer defense isn't going to get better. So I'm assuming Memphis is going to get into the 110-plus range. Mm-hmm. But Portland's largely been this 130, 125 type team. I won't be shocked either scenario. They run away with it, blow them out, and they're celebrating in the fourth quarter with 6 to go. Or there's 5 minutes left, and Portland's only up 4, and somehow we're at the edge of our seats at 1:30 in the afternoon on a Saturday.
You're just clenching.
I'll get off the fence sitting. I do think Portland by the fourth quarter, even though the third quarter's their bugaboo, I think by the fourth quarter, Portland's going to run away. Okay. I don't expect this to be Brooklyn.
The big concern is just how much rest and recovery, not so much for Dame's unbelievable, but CJ with his back, that's, is it tighten up? Can he not get it loose? And also guys like Nurk, Gary Trent Jr., you wonder, having games like that, the minutes, this is all new to him. Can they summon it up?
They've played a ton of minutes.
Or will they be a little conservative knowing they've got a Sunday game if necessary? Not that you want to go and roll the dice and play roulette that way, but it's really just fatigue, both mental and physical. Not so much with Dame, but for the rest of the team. I could see him coming out flat to they can't, they're getting out hustled for things. That's really the only concern. If they've got their legs back with them, they feel rested, they're ready to go, they come out and the body is matching the mind and the understanding of what's at stake to come out and take care of business, then I think there's a chance they could run them out of the gym.
Yeah, you got to remember, too, Memphis had the chance to play at 1 o'clock yesterday, so they were done, 4-ish? At least our time, and then Portland plays late at 9.
They're also a young team.
And so Portland's game was 6 o'clock Pacific, so it would have been, 9 o'clock in Orlando, right? 9 p.m. tip, I think. Yeah. So you're finishing around midnight. You're not getting to bed. They're probably in those ice baths at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Got to rest day today, and then you got to turn around. The game is at 11:30 a.m., so was that 1:30 or whatever at in Orlando, or 2:30 in Orlando. So it's a tighter turnaround for them. Not by much, but just by a hair.
I think Dylan Brooks, I got to remember, I got to go back to the box score. I didn't feel like he played that well of a game the first time Portland played, or maybe I'm misremembering a different moment because I've seen them a couple of times since they've been in the bubble. But Dylan Brooks, he's going to be a difficult matchup. Ja Morant, Damian Lillard, those are, you always love the veteran versus the young up-and-coming potential next superstar guy at that position. I love that matchup. Valanciunas, if he can stay on the floor, he's actually helpful, but that's always kind of been his problem, is he can't stay on the floor. So I expect Nurkic to have a slight advantage there. And Ted Cruz Jr. has been actually playing pretty well in the bubble. Grayson Allen has given them a pretty decent showing so far. Yeah. So, look, they got some pieces. Brandon Clark is a very good player, obviously, out of Gonzaga. And he was really good when they played the first time. And I get all the minutes and the being tired stuff. They know what's on the line. And it is a veteran team that was in the West Finals.
Finish him.
Yeah, I expect, that's what I'm expecting. Dame, CJ, Nurk, the collective. Let's get this done. We're not farting around with a two-game play-in. Let's play one game and then get some rest for a couple days and then lace them up against the Lakers in a first round matchup.
So their first game of the bubble was, of course, against Memphis. Portland won 140-135. To your question, Dylan Brooks, 15 points, 6-16 shooting, but Jackson was their top performer. He was 10-22, 6-15 from three. He had 33 points, led him. So no Jackson in this game. What are your thoughts on it? 503-250-1080. We'll get into that a little bit more as we close things up. But keep your fake sponsors coming in. We'll do some gambling. We'll do it next. First Year Swag.
Spraggin' the line. That
was a good one. Spraggin' the line brought to you by Mario Hazonia. When it comes to Sprague's picks, you got to be like me, have Mario mentality.
God. And then Richmond freaking texted me this morning.
Did he?
Dame hit that shot from the logo. You know why? The Mario mentality.
God, he is so bad.
Who is worse right now? Who would you rather put out on the court? Let's say everybody gets fouled out or
whatever.
Nobody
else left. You have two options.
You need one guy, and your only options are Anfernee Simons or Mario Hazonia.
Anfernee Simons.
Did you see his air ball?
I did. I'd still go with Anfernee Simons.
Also, Hazonia had a moment, and I know this is really specific. He was kicked out with about 3 seconds to go. He got a kick out for a three.
Uh-huh.
And then he ended up, I think, passing to Gary Trent or Melo or somebody, and then they missed. Why didn't he shoot the shot? That's an example of overpassing. He got a clean look. I think it was Dame or CJ created it. You're wide open.
Don't worry. He looks great in practice. Storyline brought to you by defibrillators, a must-have for every Blazer fan. Did I say that right?
Defibrillators.
That's a tough one. Annual.
I think he...
It's defibrillators.
Defibrillators. Yes.
That's what I said.
No, it's not.
Defibrillators.
WAMBC.
I think Hazonia has a player option, by the way.
Oh, he does. He'll be back. So. Don't you worry, Bob. Don't you worry.
Mario mentality going to be here for 2 years.
Neil's playing the long game here, okay? Sprague and Lyon brought to you by Blockbuster Video Airbnb. Sprague, why bother renting it for the night when 3 minutes is all you need?
What would I do with the other 2.5 minutes?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a lot of time.
You can rent a cool DVD.
I could go look at old movies and act like I want to rent them, but I won't.
Sprague Line brought to you by Spring Football. It's not really in the spring, like Sprague isn't really a gambling expert. It's true. It starts in January.
Yeah, that's the thing. We keep saying spring.
Sprague Line brought to you by the Phoenix Suns. Hey, at least we figured out how to win. I'm like a Sprague pick. It's true. I'm calling it now. The Suns are the next year's Browns. Everybody's going to be all in on them, and they're going to suck.
Oh, they're for them.
The Suns, dude. Like, let's calm down a little bit.
I do think they're going to be good, but the hype for them is going to be insane.
7-0. Sprague Line brought to you by Nebraska. After hearing Sprague's picks, they've decided they'll be getting their picks somewhere else. We're leaving.
Well, they're probably underwhelmed wherever else they go.
Sprague Line brought to you by the Blazers defense. About as reliable as a Sprague parlay. Sprague Line brought to you by Bandon Local Caddy. Touching sand to help Sprague's odds of actually getting a pick correct.
Hey, let's go.
Just feeling the sand out for you.
I highly advise you go to Bandon, get a caddy. They're great.
Sprague Line brought to you by Russian COVID vaccine. I'll trust it more than I trust a Sprague pick.
Duh. Yeah.
Inject me, Vladdy. Sprague Line brought to you by the Blazers defense. You never know what you're going to get.
Okay, Forrest Gump.
I do know what they're going to get. It's going to be bad. Sprague Line brought to you by Larry Scott, the only person stealing more money these days than Sprague's bookies.
Oh, hello.
It's going to squeeze a couple more in here. Sprague Line brought to you by Jordan Watts, a name I trust more than Sprague when getting gambling advice. Sprague Line brought to you by Swigart Old Jokes, because unlike his age and jokes, losing big on a Sprague pick gets old immediately.
I should get off my lawn now.
Let's see here. There's one more I wanted. Hold on. All right, we'll get our picks, and then I'll read the rest of them. There were some really good ones that came in today. I'll let you start. The floor is yours, my man.
Right now, Portland is a 7-point favorite on the Oregon Sports Lottery.
I saw 6.5. Has it gone up a half a point?
Give me a second here.
I digress.
Yeah, I digress.
Because I was thinking about locking in that 6.5. That was one of my picks.
Yeah, I've got... Oh. Yeah, it's seven.
It's
seven.
No, it's, I think, 6.5 right now.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it's okay. I'm looking at the wrong number. Okay. Anyway, 6.5.
Anywho,
I am going to go to the margin of Portland winning between 7 and 9 plus 560.
Okay. you're okay. We're going deep today.
It's going prop stuff.
I mean, we're just going to pick Portland minus the 7 or Memphis. Yeah, we can do that, but sure. I'm trying to win some money here.
Sure.
If I go Portland with the spread, what is that? A minus 114.
You're not making much there, yeah. I did.
Give me plus 520. I think they're going to win between 7 and 9 anyway.
Ooh, okay. I like
that.
That's
at plus 750 right now.
Oh, hello. Okay, that's even better.
Yeah, I might go larger spread. Hold on. My first pick, I'm going to lock in a NHL parlay today because last week I think I went like 1-4, so let's try again. I'm just going winner, staying away from puck lines. I would like to note that I also have a 5-team parlay, and so far I'm 2-for-2. So this is the remaining of my 5-team parlay that I have locked in. I'm going money line Blues over the Canucks. They're not going to fall down 0-2. Wake up game. They lost game one. They're going to bounce back and win tonight.
Defending champions.
Same thing goes for the Caps and the Islanders. Bit of an upset there in game one. I think the Caps bounce back. They tie that series up. I've really liked watching Calgary. I don't know why. I think they're playing good. That series tied 1-1. Game three tonight. I am taking Calgary, Washington Capitals, St. Louis Blues in a money line parlay.
What do you like, Swigart? Are you going traditional? Are you going props like me?
No, I was looking at. I don't see player props yet. I don't see Dame's.
I know. I was looking for those.
No player props on the Oregon Lottery app.
Because CJ's over under last night was 19.5. That was easy money.
Did you take the over?
I took the over. Nice. Yeah.
So I will probably look. What do we got here? Kind of in these margins, you can get Portland to win by 3 to 6 points at plus 480.
Okay, Swigard, let me entice you with something. This is right up your alley. Because what did you say earlier? I think it's a bit of a slow start. They're going to get it going. If you think they're going to have a slow start, they have a race to 12 and a race to 25.
Yeah, I love
that. Race to 25 is plus 135. So if you're getting there first, Memphis is the team. And if you think Memphis is going to start stronger than Portland.
Are you going like, what's the gem Adam Sandler movie? Where he's going with
Uncut
the tip?
Gems.
He does the tip in every game?
He does the tip every time.
Come on, KG! Come on, KG!
It's just a race to 10. You can go race to 12 with Memphis plus 120 if you really think Portland's going to start slow.
Yeah, I might... I kind of like the race to 25 even better.
Yeah, because it's plus 135.
It's plus 135.
Let's put the testes on the table and go race to 45. Because that's plus 140.
Now we're talking.
So that'll be mid-second quarter.
Mm-hmm. Well, with this defense.
Yeah, sure, they could get it by the end
early
of the
second quarter.
Yeah.
But Memphis is just,
Memphis isn't great.
But I think the race to 25, I think I'll take Memphis at plus 130. Because I could see Dame coming out and hit a couple of quick threes real quick. But then Memphis will adjust or they're going to say, okay, now we're going to.
Yeah.
They were going to kind of wait and see what happened before they put the trap or took the ball out of his hands. And then they'll start putting the clamps down.
I am going to take a spread alternative. Now, I know I said I wasn't going to do this.
Oh, here we go.
But I'm going to do it again anyways.
Yes.
And there's a striking line sponsor too in a moment. You can up the spread a bit. So the Blazers are favored by 6.5 right now. If you take them minus 10, it's a plus 125. And I do think that the game might be close kind of early on. I could see Portland getting off to a sluggish start. They don't want to play Sunday.
Oh, you're changing the spread?
Yeah, I'm taking the Blazers minus 10. I think they win this game by double digits. Memphis has not played well. I mean, they benefited yesterday from playing absolutely. Who did Brooklyn even play? Or not Brooklyn.
They played the Bucks.
The Bucks.
Giannis
wasn't
everybody.
In the lineup.
Well, Giannis got suspended, yeah.
And they sat everybody else. They won that game. But they're 2-5 on the bubble. They haven't played well. They're not the same team without Jackson,
who
he scored 33. He dominated Portland in that first game. That was the only reason they were in it. So maybe John Morant gets hot, that kind of stuff. I don't trust the rest of the roster. I think Dame pulls away late. They win by more than 10.
So are you going to the win by 10 to 13 plus 560?
No, I'm just taking the Blazers minus 10 for plus 125.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at on that.
There you go.
Spring and Line brought to you by the Blazers minus 11. Who would have thought a dirt pick would be even worse than a Sprague pick? Spring and Line brought to you by the Seahawks signing Everson Griffin. Oh, wait.
Oh, it's the...
Wait.
It's the Cowboys.
Cows. Wait. Where's... Who?
Let me tell you, listeners, something real quick. That, from time to time, as you have probably heard, that moment happens where you're talking and you saw it and you know it and then you just say it wrong and then you dig in and then you realize that, you were wrong.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. You're just at the mercy of the people of can you forgive and move on and know that he knew. The Cowboys were the ones who signed Everson Griffin and not the Seahawks.
Spring and Line brought to you by 7-Eleven Hot Dogs. Still a safer bet than Sprague Pick.
This is true. I had one last Friday, and it held up.
It did.
I had no problems.
There you go.
I loaded that bitch up too. I had sauerkraut, relish, mustard. It was delightful.
Spraying the line every Friday at 2:30. All right, let's wrap things up. We'll send you off into the weekend. Big one for Portland. How you feeling, Blazer fans? We got a poll question up on that. We'll give you the results. Close things up next on The Fam. There you go, fist pumping your way into the weekend every Friday.
Did you also, one more Damian Lillard note, because we can never have too many Damian Lillard notes.
I could do 3 hours on Dame.
Do you think you really could? I know we say that, but.
I think we could. As long as I'm able to tie in like other slight tangents of the Blazers to Damian Lillard.
Sure.
I think we could get 3 hours of that.
He was the, so he's been joining rarefied air. He's been making history. Him and Wilt with 3+60 games. Mm-hmm.
First Blazer to ever have 30 points per game
in the regular season. His long distance shooting percentage is insane. It's just normal now.
Yeah, Holdall had a great tweet saying his percentage posts or further than 35 feet is now the standard in the NBA. It's not like you compare Dame to something. You will compare guys to Dame.
His 30 footers are what normal people shoot. Mm-hmm. He became the only player in league history, mm-hmm. which you'd think Wilt would be in this. Mm-hmm. The only player in league history to finish the regular season the last three games with 40 plus points.
That is, it's a kind of a random.
It's a very random
stat.
Yeah, I know.
Because some guys might sit the regular season, final games, that kind of stuff. But
like Wilt or Kareem?
Right. None of them ever did.
Didn't have a year where they did that. Yeah. Wilt had a year where he averaged like 52.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Well, when you're 6'11", athletic, and a freak.
Everybody else is dirt.
Playing amongst a bunch of dirts. Life is good.
I could go dunk on a bunch of third graders. Speaking of that game last night, by the way.
Are you hating on the stilt?
I'm not hating on the stilt. There's a Babe Ruth vibe to it, though, you know?
Bill Russell was in the same time, and he was the one that won.
He's a great player. He was on the better team, too. But I'm just saying.
Very true.
If Wilt played now, he would not have averaged 50 points per game.
Are you sure?
Positive.
What about 49?
On TNT last night, Blazers and Nets, 1.52 million people watched it.
Yeah.
The only thing that rated higher than that in the sports world Thursday was the Cubs and the Brewers. Okay.
Big tilt in the NL Central.
I guess baseball's doing good, huh? Good for baseball. 1.59 million viewers. Next closest, you got Jazz and Spurs, which was the 3 o'clock or whatever game on TNT for us. 740,000. How about my hockey? The Knights and the Blackhawks got nearly 700,000 on the NBC Sports Network. That was followed by the Suns and the Mavs on TNT. And then Blue Jackets and Lightning lagged a little behind. But there's your viewing numbers from Thursday.
You know, I know we all know football is king, but I did have a moment during the second half where the third quarter was just going to hell. I kind of thought, who are the sports fans that legit aren't watching this? You know, like the football guy. Football guy, answer me this question. Sure, you may be not the biggest NBA fan. Maybe the protesting or the social platform stuff, maybe it bothers you for reasons I don't understand as a human being. Why are you watching? What else are you doing?
Incredible entertainment.
You watch Tennessee football get their brains beat in every year for four quarters, and you act like that's so much more entertaining.
I also think, too, like some people have made a big deal about the NBA numbers. I would just say, let's give it a little time and see where this goes.
We got a lot of day games going on.
There's a lot of day games going on. And also, some of these teams, the games don't mean anything. They're sitting guys. Like, you're not seeing stars every night. So let's see where the playoff numbers go. Also, the Blazer and Nets game was fun, entertaining, and it was a play-in for the playoffs. It's a play-in for the 8 seed.
Yeah.
Like, let's not act like this is a play-in for the NBA. This wasn't the Final Four here. You're playing in for an 8 seed. So we were enthralled by it. The basketball community was enthralled by it. But if you're just like a run-of-the-mill sports fan and it's not on your radar immediately, that's not going to jump out at you. But if the Lakers and Clippers are playing in the conference finals, you're going to watch that. The numbers will be through the roof.
Well, the thing about the numbers, too, is, yes, people can point to what the numbers are and they can clown them for reasons I don't honestly understand. Like, people in the sports business make an effort. Like, Clay Travis does this. He's this total macho, fake, shtick, South football guy who... he maintains this fake persona just to get money. But people like him. People identify with his feelings and his thoughts, even though that's not really what he thinks. He loves to point at these things, the ratings, and make fun of them, which is stupid because he hosts a national radio show. It's like, are you bagging a sport that you're supposed to cover? The thing is, if you look into the numbers, their primetime games are up. Mm-hmm. Are the full slate of games down or right. at a bad number?
Right.
Probably, because Heat Pacers has been on our entire show. Who's watching this?
It's on at 2:52 and nobody's playing.
Nobody's playing. This is the first round matchup in the East. What's the point of caring about this game? There isn't.
Right.
But when you go to specifically the primetime games, their numbers are up. Yeah. So it's picking and choosing for a narrative, but the reality shows people are watching bubble basketball.
And it's going to continue to get better with the matchups getting better. Guys will be playing in every game when you get to the playoffs, and that will be the case next week because they all start officially on Monday, man. I can't wait. One note, we might get to this next week. I just saw a headline pop across that there was an SEC coaches call today with the conference, and coaches of the bottom tier SEC teams absolutely lost their S. So I can't remember if you were here
Say that one more time.
So the SEC had to add their two games because they're playing a 10-game conference schedule. So they only had eight. They had to add two. They totally stacked it for Alabama to get easy games, Georgia to get easy,
yes,
LSU,
they did.
Right? They gave them all easy games.
We didn't talk about that, but I saw that.
The crappy teams are like, what the hell, man? You just added Alabama and LSU to my schedule? Like, Arkansas released a statement? I just saw that headline. It made me chuckle because all those coaches were pissed about it. Tomorrow, though, 11:30, it should be noted the blackout stuff is done. That was a regular season thing. So the game is on ABC also if you want to watch it. Also, of course, locally still. Blazers and Grizzlies. It's over tomorrow?
It's over tomorrow. Portland will be in the eighth seed. They'll take on the Lakers. And come Monday's show, we'll kick around. Can the Blazers pull off the upset? Or is this going to be fool's gold where we believe, and we remember how bad the defense is and the Lakers take care of business?
Yeah, I kept bitching about the defense on Twitter last night. People kept tweeting me like, are you surprised? Aren't you? Like, is this new? It's like, you know what? That's a valid point. They suck on defense. I shouldn't be surprised by it anymore. Go score 150. Take care of business. Hopefully next week we are breaking down a Portland-LA first-round series. And we can start to have those conversations that a lot of people have picked over the last couple of weeks. The first response to the tweet on our poll question was, they haven't made any wins easy in the bubble. Why start now and win on Saturday? It's like, you know, it's a valid point. They're probably going to lose, and they win by 1 point on Sunday. Hopefully they take care of business tomorrow. 77% of you think that they do. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for being a part of our Friday. If you miss any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll be back. Next week's going to be a big, crazy week. We'll talk to you on Monday. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.